gospel preacher. Appreciate him. Appreciate the elders here. Brother Hart came down and gave me a hug. Appreciate that. Appreciate Brother Worthy also, who's directing the program. Brother Worthy and Brother Gibbs and myself, we have something in common. We're all the third. Richard Stevens the third. So our fathers Xeroxed us. Anyway, we appreciate the honor our fathers gave us. And I'm honored also to be with you and speak on this topic from the Bible. Hope you brought your Bibles this evening. You know, gospel preachers ought to preach the gospel. Am I right about it?
Amen.
That's right. We follow God's word. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Proverbs? Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs 23 in verse number 29 through 35. 29 through 35, where the scripture says, "Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Yet when I shall, what, yet, I say, when shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Now, I'm staying with the theme, too, of dangerous isms. And my topic is alcoholism. So dangers of alcoholism, or danger of alcohol. That's what I want to talk about. And a lot of folk don't believe that alcohol is dangerous. That's the problem. We've all been duped by the influence of this world. And we don't follow the world. We follow God through the scriptures. Am I right about it?
Amen.
And see, but alcohol, all alcohol is dangerous. And I believe that a lot of folk, I believe that alcohol is harmless because alcohol has some benefits. Like rubbing alcohol has benefits. Am I right? You put it on an infection when you have a scrape or you have a cut, it kills the infection, right? But it is still dangerous if you ingest it, if you drink it. I don't care how strong your stomach is. You know, they said drinking that rock good, but you drink that rubbing alcohol, it'll kill you. Am I right? And even alcohol that's used in medicine has benefits, right? Like NyQuil, a little alcohol is in that. There may be Theraflu, I'm not sure. But, and it's beneficial for you if you have the flu, if you're sick. But if you double or triple those doses, it'll mess you up. You can lose your life. Am I right about it? And so some, because of the benefits, they believe that alcohol is just harmless. There's no such thing as that. And even some of this, these false notions that folk have. You know, these folks say things about alcohol, trying to give it, like, you know, some benefits, like it's okay to drink a glass of wine every day. A glass of wine, alcoholic wine, is good for you. But it's been proven that the benefits are in the juice, not the alcohol.
Amen.
Come on. See, I know it won't be a lot of amens. It depends on where you are in your Christianity. How many amens are going to be tonight? But there's not a scripture in the whole Bible that justifies or influences a Christian to drink socially. Hate to break the news to you, not one. And like the old preacher, one old preacher that died, he used to say, and I say it too, I know what I'm talking about. I got book, chapter, and verse on it. Now, you notice in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceives thereby is not wise." The Bible doesn't say something is right and wrong. It's either right or wrong. And if it's wrong, it's never right. Come on, somebody. That's right. And alcohol, you look at that verse and it is wrong. Look back over in Proverbs 23. Look at Proverbs 23. See, folk get fooled like Eve was in Genesis 3 by the look of things. Notice in verse number 31 of Proverbs 23, it says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself for right, when it looks good, it's beautiful, it's enticing." You know, you got all those beautiful wine bottles and all those beautiful drinking glasses. You know, have that wine in that glass look good, you know. And the folk at these wineries and where they have alcohol and they have some brandy in a glass, beautiful glass, and they smelling it. It looks good, so smooth, looking to the light. Right? Food. But then look what it says in verse 32. You get to drinking it, at the last, it biteth like a serpent. It stingeth like an adder. An adder is a poisonous snake. It's a pit viper. It's going to bite you like a pit viper. And you get bit by one of those poisonous snakes, and it'll mess you up. If you get the antidote to save your life, you still may lose your hand or your foot wherever it bit you at. Am I right? So the Bible is warning you that alcohol is dangerous, right? It can mess you up or take your life. Now, see, what's dangerous about alcohol is that folk don't believe that it's dangerous. That's how the devil has deceived folk. The devil who deceived the whole world, Revelation 12, verse 9, have deceived folk all over the world. Folk think it's all right to drink socially. Now, like I said, I believe that it's okay to drink maybe for medical reasons. I believe the Bible teaches that. But not behind, not socially, so we can have a good time. Now, I'm going to stay, got some points to go along with the theme. My first point is that the reason why it's wrong to drink socially is because it will affect your judgment, affect your mind, your thinking, your decision making. You know, grown folk, all of us who've drank before, you know, I haven't always been a Christian.
Amen.
I can say since I've been a Christian, I haven't drank, but I used to drink every day. I had it bad. I drank when I was sick. I'm sick. I got the flu when I would drink. I'm going to tell the truth. You're going to tell the truth? Tell the truth.
Amen.
Tell the truth on yourself, right? If they tell the truth, to shame the devil, right? But I did. The reason why I didn't stop drinking because I learned to love to drink, but I stopped drinking when I understood the truth. Somebody taught me the truth. And I became a Christian and learned that it's wrong. And anything that is wrong, that God deems wrong, we ought to be willing to quit because we love God more than that. Get amen on that.
Amen.
We love God more than anything in this world. Am I right? Now, if you notice in Proverbs 31, I said it affects your judgment. In Proverbs 31, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him," and all mothers ought to teach their children that, daddies too, that in verse number 4 said, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of the afflicted." It's not for you to drink because you will forget the law, forget what God said, you'll forget what's right, you won't do what's right because alcohol will affect your judgment.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Now, if you notice, back over in Proverbs 23, and you think about this, that we don't need anything to negatively affect our thinking or our judgment. The Bible says in Romans 7 and verse 25, the very last verse of Romans 7, that with our mind we serve the law of God. And 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ." And there's no way you can do that drinking alcohol, because alcohol intoxicates you. You cannot drink something that intoxicates you without being intoxicated somewhat.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
If you have a little bit of it, it intoxicates you. It affects your mind and your judgment. You can forget what God said, or if you know it, you won't do it. Notice back here, right here in Proverbs 23. You hear? In Proverbs 23, notice this is the obvious way that most of us know it affects folk. In verse 33, it says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. It's not talking about looking, it's talking about looking.
Yep. Amen.
You get the drinking, and you start looking. Look at her. And you know, in strange means it's not your spouse. Women that drink, they start looking. I'm just saying, it you could do it without drinking, but if you do it, it influences you, it entices you to do it. And you'll do it more so, right? And really, we ought not look at other folks' spouse. We ought to have eyes only for our spouse. Come on, only for my eyes for my wife or for my wife and no other woman. Right? That is the commitment, the vow we made to God and to her. Right? We make that to each other. That my eyes, my lustful eyes, are only for my spouse.
Amen.
Now, if you notice over in Proverbs 5, in this same book, in Proverbs chapter 5, he tells you. In Proverbs chapter 5, you can see who the stranger is. It says in verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her bosom satisfy thee at all times. And be thou ravished always with her love. And ravished is a word that means to be intoxicated, to be drunk. Be drunk with your spouse, with her love, not with alcohol. And then it says, and why would thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, embrace the bosom of a stranger, somebody who's not your spouse? But see, alcohol will cause you to do that. You get the drinking. That's why you always find that alcohol at those honky-tonks. No Christian ought to be at the honky-tonk, finger popping on the devil damn floor at 3 in the morning. You ought to be home with the kids or sleeping so, guys, you get up and go to work and provide for the family and the kids. Am I right? Christians don't go to the honky-tonk where they're modestly dressed and, you know, you got lasciviousness that would tend to involve in the promotion of lust. You know, so hence the outfits and the shaking and a whole lot of folk at the honky-tonk married. I said it. A whole lot of people at the honky-tonk are married. But they're not down there with their spouse, they're down there with the girlfriends, down there with the fellas. And so you got all that lasciviousness, that dancing and drinking. That's the reason why at the honky-tonk they have ladies' night. They get the guy at the ladies, and the guys get them to come down and the alcohol and see that. And get all, you got that right mixture of sin, lustful sin, and that lust will take you somewhere. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 28, Matthew 5, verse 28, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her had committed adultery already in his heart.
Amen.
You sinned in your mind, and it could lead to the act. Proverbs 23, verse 7, so is a man thinking in his heart, so is he. It will lead you to that, right? Now, you know, Job in Job 31, verse 1, Job 31, verse 1, he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I think on a maid? He said, I made a covenant. My covenant is with God. I shouldn't think on a maid because there was a Mrs. Job too. Am I right?
Amen.
He said, no, I think on my wife, not on somebody else. But see, alcohol will cause you to break the covenant of God, that covenant. That's the reason why a lot of times when we folk get to drinking, they forget about it. Like we saw in Proverbs 31, you forget what the law said or you won't follow what God said. You'll pervert justice and judgment. You'll pervert that, right? Like we know that the Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, right? But don't forget that, but you will. You get the drinking down at those honky-tonks or somewhere else. And I will say if drinking is wrong, it's wrong under every circumstance. God, we think that where some who do believe drinking is wrong, believe there are certain times when it's all right to drink. Here's a graduation, so we have a little celebration here. Christmas time, put a little something in the eggnog.
Amen.
You know what?
Amen.
Hey, I've been on my job. On my job is a Christmas party. All my job, I got my 20 years in to get my little watch. And so, yeah, cheers. Wrong, if it's wrong, it's always wrong. If it's wrong, God says it's wrong, it's always wrong. No matter who's doing it, where it is, or what we think, if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. Amen. So we'll take that alcohol away. And some of you got alcohol at home, go home and hopefully when you get through, you go home and pour it out. Amen. Pour it out. Don't give it away, pour it out. See some folk crying. Oh. Pour it out. And replace it with something wholesome, right?
Amen.
Amen. So also alcohol, it'll affect what you say and what you do. Look at Proverbs 23. In Proverbs 23, notice what it says in the second part of verse 33. It says, thine heart shall utter perverse things. You know, everyone who drinks, if you drink, you may not do it this time, but you keep drinking, you will do it. You know, that people who drink, they'll say obscene things. They'll become obnoxious. They'll say mean things, hurtful things, offensive things. They'll say things they won't apologize for. I'm sorry I said that. Or somebody got to tell them they said it. They forgot they said it. Right?
Amen.
But they'll say, they'll do that. The Bible says for a Christian, Ephesians 4, verse 29, to let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, they may minister grace until they hear it edifies or it builds up. But Christians don't let corrupt things come out of their mouth. And again, it's a matter of, can I control my thoughts? And you can't if you've been drinking. Now, also, that what oftentimes folk drink, they say things that lead to things. Like in verse number 29, it says, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions? The ones who often say perverse things lead to contentions or folk that are drinking. You may see them, they hanging out, and they all getting along drinking. But after a while, there's a little squabble going on.
Amen.
And then they fighting. Am I right? They fighting, calling names, and sometimes here come the police, and somebody going to jail, and sometimes folk get killed. And the common denominator was the alcohol, right? They cannot stay together or consist together without some kind of squabble coming about, because the alcohol will lead you to say things, offensive things, and do things that offend other folk. Amen.
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 In Titus chapter 3, look at Titus 3, verse 2. Titus 3, verse 2, but the Bible says that about a Christian, he shouldn't speak evil of no man, right? Shouldn't be a brawler. What else does it say? Should be gentle. Should show all meekness to all men, or meekness is strength under control, But those that drink don't have control. They lose control. Oftentimes, they just choose not to control. No, I'm angry right now. You'll find really lose control even when close friends or relatives. You find two cousins that want to shoot the other one, or two brothers are fighting, kill one. It's hard to find any circumstance where two brothers or two cousins would do something like that except when they've been drinking. It's sad, isn't it? Now, this is what folk want you to believe. Like they have those stupid commercials. I said stupid. Stupid commercials on TV about drinking, about drink responsibly.
Amen.
How can you drink anything responsibly that makes you irresponsible?
Amen.
Think I said something? It's impossible. Everyone folks talking about, we're going out drinking, and we got another person who drinks, but they're not going to drink because they're going to be the designated driver. Yeah, right. You know, if I was a police, I could put folk in jail all the time, because I could go hang out at the club, and when they come out, and I know I pull them over. I know they over the limit. It's in a couple hours. I know they're over there. I know that they're not going to wait to like, wait, I'm going to use good judgment. I'm going to wait a few hours and let the toxicity of the alcohol out of my system dissipate. No one does that. They're going to get in the car and drive. Am I right? And put others at risk. Of most folk who drink, they do drive when they really would be over the limit and just don't get caught. Some of y'all didn't get caught. No, none of y'all. None of y'all, they didn't get caught. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches in 1 Peter 5 in verse 8. This is what you see in the New Testament, that Christians ought to be sober. Sober means you ought to be clear-headed, but you also ought to be free from intoxicants. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. So you got, like, be vigilant. So to be vigilant, of course, I'm not putting something going to cloud in my vision, my judgment, dull my senses, like alcohol in my system. No, you ought to be free from that. And this, and folk, you got some folk. I give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they mean right, but you know, folk try to argue from alcohol. Like, you know, well, in the New Testament, it teaches that the older women can have some, and the deacons can have some. Look with me over in 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. In 1 Timothy 3, nobody ought to have any. Amen. Right? In 1 Timothy 3, you can see we're talking about the elders, the bishops in verse 1 and 2. You see verse number 2, the bishops, he must be blameless, a husband, a one wife, vigilant, see, alert and sober, free from intoxicants. But then they come down to verse number 8 when it talks about the deacons, that the deacons said not given to much wine. So they say, well, see, deacons, he can have a little bit, but the elders can't have any. What kind of sense does that make? It even says in verse 8, he ought to be likewise must the deacons, they ought to be like the elders. But then, but you also see in verse number 11, it says that the deacons, that they ought to be sober. See that? Now, if you notice over in Titus 2, you see verse number 2, it says the aged men ought to be sober. Amen. We said also means free from intoxicants. Verse number 6, the young men ought to be sober-minded. But then in verse number 3, it says that the aged women, at the end of verse 3, not given to much wine. They say she can have a little bit, but she's going to teach, verse 4, she's going to teach the younger women to be sober, to be free from it. How can older women who are not free from intoxicants teach the younger sisters to be free from it? It's contradictory. It makes no sense. Amen. But see, but when it says not given to much wine, it's not talking about the amount. Look, much wine would be like a drunkard. It's a way of saying don't be a drunkard. It's not saying about how the level of how much someone can have. You know, over in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 17. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 17, it says, be not overly wicked, be not overmuch wicked. Don't mean that you can be a little wicked. Because wickedness is wrong. Right? The same way, you can't have a little to drink because drinking is wrong, right? It makes sense to me. And then you encounter folk who don't go to church, know nothing about the Bible. And if you say something about, you know, trying to help somebody, you lay hanging out with the fellas that flim-flamming in the alley or something, and you mention about, hey, you ought to put that alcohol down. I used to do it, and I put it down. You ought to put it down to serve the Lord. And the first thing they say is, Jesus drank wine.
Amen.
Everyone know, we come jig head in town.
Amen.
They don't know where scripture is, but they know that Jesus drank wine. But the wine in the Bible is the Greek word oinos. It means even from freshly squeezed. If you're taking notes, put down Isaiah 65, verse 8. Isaiah 65, verse 8, that the new wine is in the cluster of the grapes. It's the context that determines whether wine is alcoholic or not.
Amen.
Right? And so the point is, I'm trying to make is that you look at the context, and that determines whether or not the alcohol is alcoholic. Now, in John chapter 2, where Jesus turned the water to wine, if you look at it for a moment, Jesus turned the water to wine, John chapter 2, and remember he filled those water pots? In verse 6, there were six water pots. They were two or three firkins apiece. That's 20 or 30 gallons. If that was alcoholic wine, then Jesus sinned then. I said it. If that's alcoholic wine, he sinned. See, the wine in the Bible is not the same wine that we use. Like, it's not the wine that you go down to the cut rate store and it's 1921 proof Mad Dog, Thunderbird, Wild Iris Rose. Oh, I know what they are. Amen. I told you I used to drink. Right? Now, y'all was not supposed to know what they are. Yeah, we all come from the same place, right? Hey, but the point is not the same. And it's kind of like in you put down 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. I'm going to stay here in John 2, but I want to say that before I forget. But in 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, when Paul told Timothy to have a little wine for his stomach's infirmity, that maybe he was sick, you know, they didn't have water for purification plants, but still, he says, if it was alcohol by the context, he said, have a little bit, and it was for medical reasons. So that's the difference. Then social drinking here at a wedding feast. Now, if you look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15, toward the end of the Old Testament, before Zechariah and Zephaniah, right before Zephaniah, I believe. But it says in Habakkuk 2, verse 15, the reason why I'm saying this is because Jesus lived under the old law, right? He lived under the old law. Habakkuk 2:15 said this, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, and putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look upon his on their nakedness, or to be defenseless. But it says, woe to somebody who would do, give your neighbors that strong drink. Well, that's exactly, if that was alcohol in John 2, that's what Jesus did, and he would have sinned. Also, look at Galatians chapter 5. Remember the works of the flesh? So in the verse number 19, the works of the flesh, and you'll find a lot of the sins, the similar type sins are clustered together. In verse 19, you got the bedroom sins together. Adultery, fornication, see, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Like you have at the end of verse number 21 together, you got drunkenness and revelings. Paul said, well, I told you in time past that they would do such things should not inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking to those that are in the kingdom of the church, or you can't go to the kingdom of heaven if you do these things. But reveling is what, that's what that would have been what Jesus had at the wedding feast. That would have been a drinking party. Every New Year across the country, when they a lot of the headlines on the papers, they'll talk about the parties that went on New Year's Eve, the revelings, right? Drinking parties. So my point is that Jesus could not have turned that water into alcoholic wine. He would have transgressed. And what I'm doing is I'm taking away the justification of folks trying to say, well, then we can drink because Jesus turned the water to wine, or because the aged women or the deacons can have wine. No, nobody should have any. All ought to be sober, free from intoxicants. Alcohol is wrong. It is dangerous. And God warns Christian folk about that. Am I right? Amen. Uh-huh. And then also, too, by the way, we all know it, too. You all know that alcohol is dangerous, because if it's not dangerous, how about we give the school bus drivers the second graders and third graders, give them a drink. Matter of fact, give the whole the NISD, the school district, all the bus drivers, give them one drink, right? Uh-huh. You wouldn't let your kid go to school that day. I know my kid wouldn't be going to school that day. What about give all the air traffic controllers one drink? Give all the pilots, the co-pilots, of the stewardess, give them all one drink, and then take your flight. If one drink won't hurt you, how about we give all the surgeons a drink? They're going to operate on my mama or on a sibling, operate on my child, we give them a drink, right? Give them one, anesthesiologist, everybody who works in there, give them a drink, right? Then later on, you know, you say, I feel something funny when that doctor left something in your stomach. Well, I can't find my forceps. I don't know what I did with it. He sewed them up in your stomach because he was drinking and he forgot. I can go further with that. What about the ambulance drivers? They got the, you know, they got the lights on. They flying through town. The fire trucks. Give them all one drink. Get a police a drink, right? Everybody who got a gun, give them a drink. One drink, right? You know, it's a reason why that young folk can go and serve their country at 18, fight for their country and give their lives at 18, but they can't buy alcohol till 21. Think about it. Is could they understand if they could? Because if you gave high school kids a drink, if they could drink, man, the city. The havoc that would be in the city. I mean, it'd be so much mayhem in the city if they could have that. They understood, yes, they can go fight for their country without alcohol and have a reasonable amount of judgment, but not if they've been drinking. Come on, somebody, am I right? Amen. That's right. How much time? Okay. See, y'all made me use all my time on that. How about it's dangerous because it's addictive? Alcohol is dangerous because it's addictive, right? It affects your self-control. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I preach to others, I should be a castaway, right? But you can't do that if you've been drinking, or you won't do that if you've been drinking. Now, in Proverbs 23, notice in verse 35, I normally don't have the cordless mic on. I normally don't have this one on. In Proverbs 23, verse 35, it says, you see, it says how they have stricken me. I was not sick. They have beaten me. I felt it not. When I awake, I was sick again. You know how folk have been drinking. They wake up with bruises. They don't know how they got them because it is numb. They bump their leg, bump their arm, and don't bother them till the next day. Even somebody jump on them. But it says, you know, you've been hurt. You've been sick, but I'm going to seek it again. How many have been drinking, drank so much, and yet the toilet, and Lord, let me live, I won't do it no more. 2 days later, you're drinking again. Right? You're addicted to it. In 1 Corinthians 6, in verse number 12, the Bible says, 12 and 13, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought unto the power of any. And then he says, belly for the meats, meats for the belly for the meats, and God will destroy both of them, all of those. Now, the point is that, you know, the things that are lawful are things that God has designated that are lawful. And those things that are lawful, I will not be a slave to, even food, even though we have to eat. It's a necessity, but we should not be a slave to food, right? I know I'm one to talk, but I'm just saying. In chapter 16, we ought to be addicted to the Lord and his work. In chapter 16 and verse number 15 of this book, 1 Corinthians 16:15, the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, that ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves unto the ministry of the saints. Or they have subjected themselves, addicted means they subjected themselves unto it. Or they have set themselves under the authority of it. See, we have done that as Christians. We are subject ourselves to God's will. But those that drink, guess what? You have addicted yourself or subjected yourself under the authority of alcohol. It becomes your master. Come on, somebody. That's what it does. You drink and you keep drinking. The more you drink, the more master the alcohol becomes, and the more slave you become. You know, and over in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 9, Matthew 8 verse 9, there was a centurion, and he said this to Jesus. He said, I'm a man under authority. But then he says, but then I have some under me. There's some under my authority. And he said, and I tell this man, I say, go, and he go. I say, come, and he come. And to another one, I say, do this, and he do it. So that's what happens when you're under authority, or someone is your master. And that's what alcohol do to folk. Amen. Alcohol say, come get me. Uh-huh. You say, I ain't gonna drink no more, honey. I ain't gonna drink no more, but that alcohol call you. Come get me. It's Saturday night, and you're going to go get it. He said, go over there. Go hang with them, some folk you haven't been hanging with. Go over there, a place that you know that area you shouldn't be in, but you can drink over there. Go, and you go, you listen to it. Alcohol becomes your master. Uh-huh. Drink me. Drink more than you want to drink, more than you ought to drink, and you do it because you're a slave. When we became Christians in Romans 6 and verse 17 and 18, it said, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants or the slaves of righteousness. Come on, we are slaves to Christ. We're not a slave to anything else. And that same thing is true when it comes to drugs. It comes to pornography. Am I right? Gambling. A whole lot of folk become slaves to those vices. And you need to, give that up. If you have not obeyed the gospel, become a New Testament Christian. And then work on it. And there are some things like alcohol and drugs that may have, you got like a dual, you got a physical addiction. But you get your mind right first. I'm going to serve the Lord. Get your mind right first. We heard what I said? Folk want to go to rehab. No, you don't go to rehab. You get your mind right with the Lord first. Am I right? Uh-huh. That's the reason why you have a lot of that, and why you have support groups and AA and rehab and folk homeless, living on the street all alone, away from their loved ones, their family. Amen. If you gave them some money, they said, I don't want to. I don't want to drink them. I can't help it. Give them some money to drink. They don't want to be there, but they become a slave to it. It's sad, isn't it? Amen. How much time I got? He said, finish my letter. Well, I won't be able to do that. I got to go back to finish. You know, we preachers always have more than what we need. But I will say this. I'm going to say something about it's dangerous to your neighborhood. Alcohol is dangerous to your neighborhood. I'm going to tell you something. It's a time to vote. When they come talking about wanting to put some alcohol in your neighborhood, you ought to get out and vote against it. Uh-huh. In Proverbs 23, verse 29, again, it said, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings and wounds? Without cause, redness of eyes, they did tear along with the wine, they did seek mixed wine. That's what happened in our neighborhoods too. They come bring it. And my question always is, why don't they take those liquor stores, those beer barns, and those pool halls, honky tonks, all those places where they sell alcohol, and put them in the affluent area? Amen. Go put it over there. But see, they won't let you come put it in the affluent area where they do better at and have more things, because they understand if wherever alcohol is, the crime is going to go up. That's why when they come put alcohol in your neighborhood, you and your spouse ought to talk about moving. I'm telling you for real, you ought to talk about moving. Because when alcohol come, crime goes up, you're going to have drugs going to follow. Drugs, illegal drugs, they're selling drugs. Buying drugs, hanging at the store, lottering. Uh-huh. You know how they do it, right? Panhandling, man, you got 25 cents. You know, harassing your wife at the gas pump. It's in the area where alcohol is. Uh-huh. And other things grow up, crime, like, you know, robbery, theft. Hey, abuse, domestic abuse goes up. Hey, you have gangs hanging out. Assaults go up, murders, greater police presence, police helicopter flying at night, can't sleep. Gotta go to work. Whoa, 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 whoa. Looking for the he not over there. He not in Highland Park. The police helicopter's not flying over there. He flying with alcohol at in our hoods. And I'm gonna tell you, I'm not condoning what John Wiley Price did some years ago. I think over in West Dallas when he whitewashed those billboards that had alcohol and cigarettes on them. But I'm going to tell you something. It was an understanding with that dog. It was an understanding. See, that stuff influences folk for the worse. It is negative to your society. Our young folks see that, some of the actors, successful folk, they got a cigarette, they got a nice car and a cigarette, and they got a glass of some of that drink and stuff, and they don't understand how it's going to bite them like a poison snake in the end, right? It leads to other stuff. A lot of them in jail, and the main corporate, while they in jail, was alcohol. They started out with alcohol. Later on, they own something else. It's really, really sad. That young man that was been on the news that hit the police officer, you know, he was intoxicated. Remember that? Look how young he is. And I know it's a choice, but I'm saying we need to teach folk, start with our own homes, and teach folk the dangers of alcohol. Am I right? Instead of drinking and being an example to do something that's dangerous. I think I said something. I got to stop doing it. I got what? Okay, we're going to extend the invitation. Okay, I better stop. Yes, I'm middle all night. You might not shake my hand, but you walk by me, I'm going to hug you anyway. Uh-huh. So if you got alcohol on, you better put that perfume on, cologne on. Hey, you know, we love our folk. God loves us all, right? God's trying to do what's in our best interest because the world it's a temporary place. When you die, you don't come back here. You know, you leave all of this. God has something much better. Jesus told that thief on the cross, today you'll be me in paradise. It's something that is beyond imagination, but God made this wonderful world. He made something even better where there's no sin, transgression, there's no devil, no temptation, there's no wickedness, no old age, no hospitals, jails, none of that. It's a place that, man, it blows your mind, a place that's so wonderful that you never die again. And made possible through the Lord's horrible, excruciating death on the cross, where he hung 6 long hours, didn't he? He came and they ridiculed him on the cross and they crucified him. They beat him, spit on him, and ridiculed him up there, and he died and rose from the dead the third day and sent the disciples out with the good news, the good news of salvation. And we've all transgressed every accountable person. Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's a wages of sin. What we deserve, Romans 6, 23, is death, that's spiritual death. Because Revelation 20, verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But God, he didn't make hell for us. He made hell for the devil and his angels. He wants us to go to heaven. He wants to forgive us. We've got to do our part. And our part is through our belief, John 8, 24, repentance. Luke 13, 3, also verse number 5, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You can't go to heaven living like the devil. Amen. We'll be willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ, what the scriptures say about him, it being God's son and the Savior, and Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and to be baptized in water for remission of our sins, where we imitate Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 3 through 5, it says, what know you not, the men who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism in the death, like as Christ raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even also to walk in the newness of life. The new life comes after baptism. And it said, for if we've been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Right? As in the water baptism, like you see in Acts chapter 8. With Philip and the eunuch. Even Jesus was baptized in water, right? Now, but you can't imitate the death, burial, and resurrection just through your belief or through repentance or through confession or through being a good person or through prayer. It's through going down in the water and the likeness of his death. That's what older preachers say, the watery grave of baptism. And you come up in the likeness of his resurrection, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we're not perfect, and God knows we're not perfect, but all he asks us to do is to be faithful. Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and you shall receive a crown of life. If you have not been baptized into Christ, that's the New Testament gospel. That's what the Bible said. We got that from God. You can read about it, right? And become a New Testament Christian today. And as a Christian, sometimes we do falter. If you have not lived the way that you should have lived, the way that the Bible teaches to live, well, we can pray on your behalf as you rededicate your life. And God promises to forgive us over and over and over as much as we repent. Hey, we love you. God bless you. If you need a response to an invitation or need a prayer, please come with us together. We stand and sing.
Appreciate you.
Water?
Oh, yeah.